We have a, like, it's already been a full morning, but we have one more special thing. We have Garrett is going to give us the message this morning. So let's welcome up Garrett.
All right. Good morning. All right. So 2 weeks ago, the kids went through our very first summer camp. Let me watch that. This year, we called it Forensic Faith Camp, and at Forensic Faith Camp, the kids spent time, right, playing games, eating snacks, but really, right, the main focus of what we were doing was investigating the reliability of the Gospels. And so, right, we asked them some questions, and through, while we were at summer camp, we were asking them, right, how do we know that the Gospels are reliable? Right, can we rely on their accounts? Did Jesus really die and resurrect? And so that was, like, our theme. Right, and so let's watch this video of our very first summer camp.
Washed in the water, washed in the blood, I'm as good as you. Oh, hallelujah, I'm washed in the water, washed in the blood, I'm as good as you. Oh, hallelujah.
Let's go.
And I'm clean. And shame was running deep. The love was spilled on Calvary. Oh, hallelujah, I'm clean. To God, how can it be? I'm ransomed and redeemed. And standing in your victory. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood. I'm as good as you. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water.
So we had a great time, but you might have seen in the video, but during our summer camp, we had a detective around the entire time, and he's actually here today. So Detective Sean, why don't you come on up?
Hello.
So this is Detective Sean, and he helped us investigate our questions. And so Sean, why don't you give us a little bit of your background? How are you so qualified to help us investigate these questions?
All right. So believe it or not, I'm actually a world-class detective. I've been at this for about 50 years now. Kind of lost count. You know, it's kind of like once you get older, it's kind of lose track of how long you've been doing things.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But yeah, I've solved about like a million cases now. So yeah, not too bad. Not too bad for a guy my age. Yeah. So I've been all around the world, and I was sent here to help all these kids right here become detectives on their own.
Wow. Thank you for gracing us with your presence. Wow. This is
pleasure.
Great.
My pleasure.
So we did a lot, didn't we?
Yeah, we did a lot.
And so do you mind giving us a recap of like some of the stuff we did?
Actually, I want to ask one of our graduated detectives about what we did. So does anyone want to share about maybe the two things that we were investigating? Hey, come on up. Yeah.
We were discovering whose skateboard it was, and we don't know who it is yet. And we were also discovering who God was and if he was real or not.
Perfect. So yes, we had a mysterious skateboard show up, and we were trying to investigate who it belonged to. And we did a lot of the activities and learned a lot of different things. And does anyone want to share one thing they learned during the camp? Abby, come on up.
Don't be a know-it-all.
Say louder.
Don't be a know-it-all.
Say louder.
Don't be a know-it-all.
That's right. Wait, Abby, one more thing. What does it mean to be a know-it-all? What does it mean to be a know-it-all?
To admit it.
Basically, it's like, don't be a know-it-all. Don't know everything. Don't assume that you know what's going on. And that's one of the things that we learned during camp. Does anyone have anything else they learned during camp? Riley, you can come on up.
That when we worship, it makes God happy, and we do it to thank him for all he has done.
Yeah, so like you guys saw, one of the things that we did was worship, and we did that every single day. We did a lot of fun dances and stuff. If you guys want to learn it, just ask one of the kids. But yeah, it was super fun, and Brittany and Sydney taught us a lot about what worship means and why we do it. So yeah, overall, the camp was a lot of fun. And like Garrett said, it wasn't only about solving the skateboard case, but also solving the case of Jesus and really diving deep into why we believe what we believe and how to defend it. So yeah, I was glad to be a part of it. And I gotta go solve a case now. So,
well, I got one more question before you go.
Okay.
Are these the best detectives you've ever had?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course. And
good job, guys.
I've taught thousands of classes, you know.
I know you have, yeah. All right, get to your case. That was Detective Sean. Detective Sean helped us teach the lessons and do the worksheets, and he was an instrumental part, right? We couldn't do without 50 years of experience and a million cases solved. And so he did a great job. All right, so this was our very first summer camp, and the whole thing was spearheaded by Cameron Hanma. Yeah, give him a round of applause. Yeah, he did a great job. He put in so much time, he put in so much effort to make it successful, and it was very successful. And so, right, huge props to him. And for me, you know, I got to work with Cameron from like pretty much the very beginning, right? Yeah, so from the very beginning, right, I got to hear about like why he wanted to do it and his heart for it, and getting to know his heart for it was a huge blessing to me. Because it wasn't just like, hey, this would be fun, right? It was fun, but it wasn't just that. I want these kids to learn something, right? I want them to learn something that will give them a strong foundation in Christ. And so that was a huge blessing to me, just to see his heart for them. And so, yeah, he did a great job, right? And so that heart, wanting them to learn something that'll give them a strong foundation, that's like super important, right? Understanding that the Gospels are reliable, right? If they know that, then they could be assured of what it says, right? If they know that they could rely on the accounts that the gospel writers give, then they may know that, okay, what it says is true. Yeah, Jesus really does love me. Yeah, he really did die to save me and come back to life to bring me life, right? And that's important. And so they've been equipped, right, with tools to, like, have this strong foundation. And whether Cameron knows it or not, right, his heart was to equip them to live in the truth. Yeah, I know it. And they've been equipped to live in it knowing that they can rely on the gospels. And so right now the kids never have to come to church again, right? And like they never have to go to small group, and they never have to worship, and they never have to go to kids ministry, right? So Cameron put all of you kid ministry leaders out of a job, right? Right, obviously not. Obviously that's not how that works. They've been given a greater understanding of the gospel's reliability. And they've been given a greater understanding that they can rely on Jesus and that his word is true, but are they done? Is that it? Is that all it takes to live in the truth? Right? No. No, it's not. Because understanding the truth and living in the truth, they're different. They're different. And so let me give you an example of that, right? So, right, the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death, right? And I could know that. I could read that in the word and go, yeah, that's God's word, and I know it, and I understand it. And I could understand, and I could go, nah, but I'm going to keep doing my thing, right? I could live business as usual, right? Yeah, I know that the wages of sin is death, but I'm going to keep doing it. Like, I like doing it, and I don't care, and I'm going to live for my own glory, and I'm going to do my own thing. And so I get it. I understand it. I understand the truth, but I'm not living in it. And so, right, clearly they're different. Clearly they're different, right? Because you could understand it and not live in it. But guess what? They go hand in hand, right? They go hand in hand. You can't live in the truth if you don't know it. You gotta know the truth. How are you gonna live in it if you don't know it? And so this morning, what I felt like God placed on my heart was Hebrews 5, 13 to 14, because the author of Hebrews writes about this, understanding and living. And so Hebrews 5, 13 to 14, in this passage, the author is going to talk about like spiritual milk and spiritual food. And so what he means is this. Spiritual milk is like fundamental and foundational teachings. Things like repentance, God's faithfulness, God's love, forgiveness. So spiritual milk, like obviously amazing and good things. And it's foundational, it's fundamental, it's like super important. But then he goes on to talk about spiritual food. And spiritual food is referring to teachings that build on the foundation of spiritual milk. And so it says this, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And so this like super famous pastor, Francis Chan, he like preached on this verse, and as he walked up to the pulpit, he was like drinking from a baby bottle. And you know, I thought about doing that as like an illustration of like, oh, like this is what it's like. And but then I was like, that's weird. Like, I don't want to do that. And there is no way that if I did that I'd be able to go back to youth on like next Sunday and not get made fun of. They would definitely be like, dude, you're like, you're so weird. Like, you should never preach again. Like, right? And like that, because that's weird. Like, why would I do that? But like, that's the point, right? That's the point of this verse. I don't want to get made fun of, so that's why I didn't do it. But that's also like, that's also the point. That's weird. I'm an adult, right? It'd be really weird if I was drinking milk from a baby bottle, because I need real food. Like, if I'm just drinking from a baby bottle, like, that's not enough for me. Does that mean milk is bad? Like, of course not. Of course milk isn't bad. When I was a baby, like, I needed it. If I didn't drink milk when I was a baby, like, I'd probably be shorter than I already am. And, like, I don't, that's, like, I don't want that. And so, right, is milk bad? No, of course not, right? Milk, when I was a baby, like, laid the foundation for my growing, right? Like, because I was drinking milk, I grew. Because I was, like, drinking from that baby bottle, right, I was able to stay alive. And so, like, it is important. And so don't hear that spiritual milk isn't important. But right now that I've grown and matured, I need more than that. And if I don't get more than that, if I'm not getting food, I'm gonna be like so hungry. And I don't wanna be hungry. It's not just that I'm gonna be hungry, but like I would be so unhealthy if I wasn't eating. If I wasn't eating food, I'd be so like underdeveloped and like super thin, and that's not good. And so I need to eat. I need to eat because I'm older and I'm not a baby. And the author of Hebrews says that it's the same in our spiritual lives. Again, right, foundational teachings aren't bad. Don't hear that they are. But once a foundation is laid, you don't spend the rest of your life laying it again, right? You build on it. That's what it's for. You lay a foundation so that you could build on it. And so in our spiritual lives, right, we don't just learn that Jesus died to save us, that he really does love us, that he rose again to bring us life, and then we're done. Right, that's not it. That's good, and that's amazing, and we should dwell on it, but there's more that he calls us to. You gotta build on your foundation. Because it's been laid, but what are you gonna do? And so I hope, right, like, you hear that and you understand that, okay, yeah, like I need to build on my foundation, and I hope your next question is, how do I do it? How do I do it? And that's what verse 14 is telling us, right? But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And so that's the key thing right there, constant use. It's by constant use we are able to build on our foundation. So let me ask you guys something. How many of you get hungry? Right? Okay, good. How many of you eat? Yeah, good. How many of you eat once a week? Right? Nobody. Nobody, right? Why would you do that? Why would you? That makes no sense. If I only eat once a week, I'm going to be so hungry for the rest of the week. I'm going to be so hungry. And being hungry is not good, right? Imagine having to carry out your daily responsibilities on one meal a week. Oh, that's not fun, right? Because you get tired, right? Food, like, gives you energy. It brings you life. And if you're only eating once, like, it's like, oh, I'm probably hungry in, like, an hour. And so imagine that. It'd be so hard. It'd be so hard to eat once and go, all right, I got this week. All right, this week, all me. Yeah, I ate once, I'm good. Next 7 days, easy. That makes no sense. And guess what? That's why we don't do that. That's why we got to eat more than once. We eat, like, at least twice a day, right? Hopefully. And again, it's the same for you. It's the same for us. It's the same in your spiritual life. You cannot live in the truth if you're only hearing the truth on Sunday. If you're only getting in on Sunday, that's not going to be enough. If it's not enough to eat once a week, that's not going to be enough to get God's word and feel his presence once a week. Because guess what? You need God more than you need food. And so it's not enough. It's good. It's amazing. You could come on Sunday and you get the best meal ever, right? Tri-tip, A5 Wagyu, nice, like, whatever you want. It could be amazing. But by Monday, like, you're hungry again. And so you need to be eating. You need to be eating that spiritual food constantly. Sunday can't be the only time you eat. And guess what? Here's the good news. It doesn't have to be, right? It's not like God is stuck here at church. It's not like you're going to walk out that door and he's like waving goodbye to you. No, he's like, oh yeah, what's next? Like, where are we going? What's for lunch? Like, what are we doing later? Right? He goes with you wherever you go. It's not like he's stuck here. It's not like, oh yeah, I got my fill. I'll come back next week, God. No, like, you come and you get filled and you want more. And guess what? You can have more whenever you want because he's always with you. He doesn't leave you. And because he's always with you, you can get that spiritual food whenever. Like, imagine how good it is on Sunday, right? Don't you guys love coming to church on Sunday, right? Singing your praises and hearing the word and getting to fellowship with your brothers. Isn't that, like, so great? Do you want to keep doing that? Do it. That's stopping you. God goes with you all the time. He's placed his heart in you to want that and to desire that because that's what he wants for you. And so you got to keep eating. You got to keep eating. It's not just Sunday. But how? Right? How do we do that? I want to eat, but how am I going to do that? And I just mentioned a bunch of ways. And there's many ways to get that spiritual food, but the one that I want to highlight this morning and the one that I think the author of Hebrews is talking about is reading the Word. Reading your Bible. Open up your Bible and reading it. You got to be reading the Word. And I bet some of you heard that and you're like, oh, I don't want to read the Word. And I bet some of you heard that and you're already like, yeah, I ain't doing that. I'm not going to read the Word. And the reason I can make that bet is because that was me. You know, that was so me when I was young. Not that I hated the Word, but I just didn't want to read it, right? Especially as a kid, you know, I didn't want to sit down and read. I wanted to play. I don't want to watch TV. I want to do what I want. But as I got older, and it's like now, like I cannot imagine my life without the Word. I love it. I love it. It's so good. And I've come a long way, and so I just want to share with you guys how I got there because the way that I got there isn't like special. Well, it's not like unique. It's not like, oh my gosh, this worked for me. I don't know if it's going to work for you. Like this, like the Word is so good. And I just like found out when I didn't before. And so like when I was young, I didn't know anything. Like I remember the first time I found out what a reference was. I was like 11. I was like sixth grade. I was going to be in middle school. I didn't know how the Bible worked, right? I remember we were in like Transformation Station at Stanford in the bungalows. And then I think, I forget who it was, but somebody was like, all right, open to like Mark 13, whatever. And I was like, oh, shoot, they say that name because that's the name of the book. And then they say that number because that's a chapter. And then they say the number after because it's the verse, right? Like, I was 11. Like, I should have known that. I grew up at the church. I did not know that. And so, I mean, that just shows, right, how little I knew. And I was a kid, but still, like, that's way too old to not know how to, like, get open to a verse. And so, like, my background, you know, I'd go to Sunday school, and all of my peers would, like, know the stories we're talking about. I'd be like, I never heard this before. My favorite story was Noah's Ark because, like, there was a bunch of water in it, and I like fishing. And, like, that was really, like, why I remembered it. And really, tangent. Like, I only liked it because I was like, how did he get the fish on the boat? But then there was, like I don't know why I thought that because, like, the fish don't need to be in the boat. But that's not important. Yeah, but anyway, that's my beginning. I didn't know anything. And when I got to high school, I started to, like, have questions. I was sort of wondering, like, what does God think about, like, this topic? And, like, why do we do this certain thing we do at church? Like, I had all these questions. I didn't know what to do. And I was praying about it. I was like, God, can you just tell me? And I didn't really, like, get told anything. And so I'm like, I don't know what to do. And it occurred to me, maybe I should open up my Bible. Maybe I should actually, like, look for the truth in the Word. And so I open up my Bible, and I'm reading the Word, and I'm like, wow. You know, my questions are, like, actually getting answered. Like, God is actually showing up and, like, speaking to me. I have all these questions, and, like, God is using the Word to, like, answer them. And so I didn't fall in love with the Word right away, but when that happened, like, my heart really opened up to it. Okay, it's not, like, boring. Okay, it's not like, this is lame. Oh, wow, like, it was really good, and I needed it. And so that was, like, the very beginning of high school for me. I didn't want to read the Word, and I had questions, and I found God in the Word, and I found the truth in it. And so my heart was open to it, but that was, like, you know, my freshman year. It wasn't until my junior year of high school that I really came to love it. In my junior year, like, I was serving in Christian club. Now that I think about it, like, why was I serving if I didn't, like, even want to read the Word? That's, like, whatever. It was good anyway. But in my junior year, I was serving in Christian club, and we led a Bible study on Sunday. We led a Bible study. Why did I lead a Bible study? who let me do that? But I just wanted to serve. That was my heart. I love God, and I just wanted people to love him too, and I was going to do anything I could. And so that's why I said yes to leading the Bible study. And so we read Hebrews. We did a Bible study on Hebrews, and it was so good. That was the first time I ever like did a Bible study with other people, and it was so good. I was able to get insights from people my age, right, of like, hey, this is like something that stuck out to me, and this is why, right? And there were people who were older than me who knew the word better than I did, and they were like sharing all this wisdom about, hey, think about this, and, you know, a high priest is this, and this is who, like, this person is talking about. There's so many things that I didn't know that people were telling me, and I was like, dude, this is, like, so good. And, like, it was such a blessing. It was on Thursday mornings after zero period, and so, like, at my school, right, we would have late start, and school started at 9:30, so people could sleep in. I wasn't sleeping in. I was showing up even earlier than I did on a normal day to get to this Bible study because it was so good. We went through that Bible study, and by the end, like, I loved it because I was transformed by it. I didn't, like, know everything. I didn't have, like, this amazing education. I know everything about the historical context and the literary design. I didn't know any of that. I just read it. And God spoke to me. I didn't need to have like this biblical background of knowing it all. I just need to open it up and invite God in. And as I invited him in, he showed up. And it was just like, I don't know. I could talk all day about how much I love the word, but like it is beyond words. And you just gotta open it up. You just gotta invite him in and he's gonna show up. I promise you he's gonna show up. And so I left that Bible study wanting more of the word because I realized how good and like transformative it was. But really, I realized my Bible wasn't like, it wasn't a textbook. It's not like, oh, if I don't know, then I'm going to do bad on the test and God's going to be mad at me. No, like the word is alive and active. God uses it to speak to us. And I felt him and I heard him speaking to me through it. And I fell in love with reading my Bible because that's what I wanted. I wanted God to speak to me. I wanted more of him in my life. And that's how I was getting it. And it was so good. Right? Because the word isn't just God's word that he said once and now it's written down, right? It's live. It's active. He wants to speak to you. He wants to use it to touch you. And that's really where I fell in love. And now, right, like I go to Biola and I study the word. And like that has like increased, but I didn't need that to fall in love with it. I don't need like this great college education. I don't need to understand all of it for it to be used by God to speak to me. And so for all of us, right, I started off knowing nothing. I didn't want to open it up. But once I did, I couldn't close it. God got a hold of me. And so now, right, like I read the word every day because I need it. I need that constant use. I can't imagine my life without that constant use. That's my spiritual food. And I love it. It's just so great. And now that doesn't mean, right, that every time I feel, or every time I read the Bible that I feel like great. That doesn't mean that every time I read it, oh, I feel like so good. You know, sometimes I read the word and like I feel convicted about the way that I'm living. Oh man, God's calling me to do something better. Oh man, I'm not doing what I should be doing. Sometimes I read the words and like it's whatever it's trying to teach me is like super hard to accept. Oh, God, is that really what you want me to do? God, is that really what you say about this? And it's hard to accept it. And that doesn't feel good. Those things don't always feel good, but they are. They are good because that's God's correction. That's God's guidance. That's God's voice in your life. God's voice isn't always going to just say like, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. Like God in his love will set you on the right path. And sometimes it sets you on the right path. He has to tell you, stop doing that. Don't feel good, but it is good. It is so good. And obviously, right, sometimes it will be like being overwhelmed by God's love, right? You're going to leave it feeling so full. And of course, that's part of it. But if you want to read the word, I don't want you to go in with the expectation that it's going to be like, yeah, every time I read, like, oh, man, I just feel so amazing. Sometimes you won't feel amazing. And that's okay. That's how it's supposed to be. So don't shy away from it because even though it might not feel great, it is amazing. God's in your life. You're inviting him in. He's trying to help you. And so as I got older, Like, I just was reading my word all the time, you know, and that's before I even had this education. And, you know, because of that, my life has changed. You know, God has showed up in my life in amazing ways, and, you know, he's, like, blessed me and, like, set me on an amazing path. But really, for me, where my growth has come is when I was in the word every day. Every day. It's not just that I grew, but I grew in my love for him, and I could feel his love even greater. Do you want that? Do you want to feel his love? Do you want to grow in your knowledge of him? Do you want to grow closer to your creator? I hope you do. This is how you do it. I hope you guys know, and if you don't, then I hope you hear it today. God loves you, that he died to save you, that he rose to life to give you life, and that's amazing, but he has so much more for you. And so I want to close with this, right? Hopefully, right, this whole analogy of, like, spiritual milk and spiritual food, like, it makes sense. You know, I hope that you understand it, but understanding, it's not the same as living in it. And that's our whole theme for Multigen, right? Living in the truth. I hope you understand, right, that spiritual milk is good and you need it. But once that foundation is laid, you need more. Do you want more? And if you want more, what are you gonna do? So I'm going to invite the worship team up. And I just want to pray over you guys because the word is so good. And I know it can be hard, right, to be like, yeah, I'm going to open it up even though I don't know much. Guys, God will meet you. I promise you that because he met me. And I didn't even know how to open it up. I didn't even know what a reference was. And now, like, I can't imagine my life without it. So let me pray for you guys. Father, thank you for this morning, that we could come together and eat. Lord God, your food is so good, and I pray that we want more. I pray that you stir our hearts to want more, that when we walk out those doors, we're not going, yeah, I had enough, but we're going, oh man, I need more. I want more, because God, you will give us more. And so Father, I pray that you stir in us a desire for you, God, that only you could fill. God, stir our hearts for the word. Stir our hearts for your love. And I pray, God, that you give us the strength to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.